Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Revelation 4. There's no better time to read it than now, right? It said, then suddenly, after I wrote down these messages, I saw a heavenly portal open before me. And the same trumpet voice I heard speaking with me at the beginning broke the silence and said, ascend into this realm and I want to reveal to you what must happen after this. Instantly, I was taken up into the spirit realm and behold, I saw a heavenly throne set in place and someone seated upon it. His appearance was sparkling like crystal and glowing like a carnelian gemstone. Surrounding the throne was a circle of green light and like an emerald rainbow. Encircling the great throne were 24 thrones with elders. In the throne were blinding flashes of lightning, crashes of thunder and voices. And burning before the throne are seven blazing torches, which represent the seven spirits of God. And in front of the throne, there was pavement like crystal sea of glass. Around the throne and on each side stood four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature resembled a lion. The second was an ox. The third had a human face, and the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of the four living creatures had six wings full of eyes and all around under their wings. They worshiped without ceasing day and night, singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The was, the is, and the coming. How many of y'all know Jesus is coming back? And he's coming back for you and me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet, that it's a light unto our path. Thank you, Lord, that you are meeting with us. Lord, you stood in the middle of the lampstands, and you're standing in the middle of this lampstand this morning. And I pray, Lord, that no one would leave here with doubt in their heart. I pray that, Lord, as we get encouragement from the word this morning, I pray that hearts are mended, that bodies are healed, that spirits are renewed, and souls are set free. God, do what only you can do in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing that one more time. Y'all feel like singing that? Great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. See how great is our God. Amen. How many of y'all believe we serve a great God? Praise the Lord. Well, on your way down, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you look like you could use some church this morning. Come on, be honest with them. I know you're not lying to them, but just tell them, you look like you could use a little church this morning. How many of y'all just be honest? I could use a little church this morning. Just raise your hand. Amen. I know that I can. Oh, I'm so happy that you aren't. Doesn't it feel good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. How many of y'all know we serve a God that is alive and he's at the right hand of the Father? That he's not dead. He's not a fat gold guy in the corner of, it ain't pork or chicken, but a fat Siamese buffet somewhere. Although I love fried rice, just to be honest with you. But we serve a God that is alive. Come on, somebody, that he is alive. And he's a good God. He's a good God. Well, those of you that are just joining us, We have been in a 14-part series on Jesus. This is the longest series that I've ever done. I did faith at the beginning of the year. I think I preached 8 or 9 sermons on that. So now we're on 14. This is a record for me. But hasn't it been good? Come on, just raise your hand if God has given you revelation from revelation. Dr. Charlie, I'm saying it right. All right? I always mess up. It's so easy to say revelations, isn't it, Pastor Robert? He has grace on me. He knows what he's talking about. But we've been studying the book of Revelation, and if you haven't studied it before, you've been scared. Like, you know, one thing to make your youth group decrease in numbers, preach on end times. I know that from youth pastor experience. When you preach on end times, they don't come back. But I have found this. If you have revelation of the Word of God, revelation, it tells us this, that great joy and great excitement comes to those who have revelation of this word. You know why we have great joy and great excitement? Even in the world of craziness, we have excitement that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'll tell you this, he has never lost a battle, and he ain't about to lose one in 2020. Can I get an amen, somebody? He is not a Dallas Cowboy. He wins fights. Amen? I'm excited. Pastor Brandy and myself are going to the NFR today, and we're going to go to the rounds tomorrow night, Tuesday night. I'm excited to go into a stadium where Cowboys actually win. Come on, somebody. Amen. So I had to go to the baseball field to see it, but that's okay. They don't win at AT&T, but they'll win this week at Globe Life. All right, we've been studying here, Revelation, and the Apostle John, he has a revelation of Jesus. He has known Jesus all of his life. In fact, he's one of the 12 that he picked. In fact, in John, we see this, that he is the one that Jesus loved. And I know I've said this before, but I want to remind somebody, you need to have in your saying all the time when you wake up in the morning, I am Wayne, the one who Jesus loves. I am Robert, the one who Jesus loves. I am Casey, the one who Jesus loves. I am Kelsey, the one who Jesus loves. Come on, when you begin to tell yourself that, how many of y'all know love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious, is not boastful, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. How many know the love of God never fails? And grandpa may give up on you, your boss may give up on you, the Democrats gave up on you, but God will never give up on you. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so I'm here to tell you, declare to you this morning, we have a God that loves you. The Apostle John here, in fact, he loves him so much that he tells him, hey, take care of my mother. And we see all through Revelation 1, he has experience with Jesus. He's spent time with him. He was there when he walked on water. He was there when the crippled hand reached out. He was there when they brought in the crippled man through the roof. He's seen all of that, but he now sees him in a completely different light. And he sees him as the high priest for us. And he sees his hair white as snow. He sees his feet as fire. And he sees him as the resurrected Jesus. And he's at a dark place in a cave. And I'm here to remind you again, if you're in a dark place, if you're at a place right now where you don't know the answer, I'm here to tell you, if you just give Jesus a chance, he will show up in whatever situation you're in right now. He will show up if you're being rejected by your kids. I'm just telling you, you give Jesus a chance, he will bring light into a dark place. And that's what he does. And he says, the things that I reveal to you from here on out, I want you to write it down. Because I want the people of 2020 to know about a resurrected Christ. I want the church of 2020 at AOL know about a resurrected Christ. And he talks about examples of 7 different churches, and we went through those. He went through the church at Ephesus, the church at Smyrna. He went through the church of Philadelphia, in Thyatira, in all of those, Pergamum. I would say all of them, but I don't have them memorized, but that's enough of them. But if you didn't listen to those, go back and listen to those on our Spotify. But in Revelation 2 and 3, he gives us examples that we're doing it right and ones that we're doing it wrong. And we're an example of all of them. 7 is completion. It's 7 churches. And he's saying, hey, you need to have your things together. And there's some things even today that these churches dealt with that you will deal with today. But how many of y'all know he's the open door for us? And he's opened a door. And I believe right now there's so many signs throughout the earth and through the land, not only in America, but throughout the world, that he is opening up doors, especially for the church. And I'm here to tell the church this morning, you better buckle up and get ready, because there's going to be some things that will be revealed in 2021, and the weak will not make it. Only the strong will. But when we are weak, he makes us strong. When we are poor, he makes us rich. Cast all your care on the Lord, for he cares for you. You don't need to fight this battle by yourself, but you need to let him fight it for you. And there's some ways that we can fight it, and we need to put on the full armor of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Come on, who's with me this morning that we're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? I need to stay on target here. I've got like 4,000 scriptures to read of the man, so I better stay on target. Pastor Robert, you feel this weight every Wednesday of how do I put it all in a sermon? We see here four creatures, and he's now in Revelation 4, and he's had a rapture-type experience where he goes before the throne of God, and he sees these four faces. In fact, this is a prophecy that has been now revealed in Ezekiel chapter 1. If you read it, he talks about the four faces here, the face of the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. Well, we see he's four creatures that are living symbols of the Messiah. We see him as the lion of the tribe of Judah in Revelation 5:5. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals. We see in Isaiah 53 and verse 4 that he is the ox for us. How many of y'all know that he carried your burdens? He is the great beast of burden for us. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:4, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Can I say that this morning? Can I say that in a pandemic-driven world of COVID-19? By his stripes you are healed. Can I say it again, people of God? Can I build some faith inside the room? By his stripes, you are healed. I choose not to live in fear. I'm going to be one who lives by faith and not by sight. I'm going to live by faith, not by what I'm hearing. Yes, I hear. Listen, I know people are dying. I know there's people in the hospital right now. I know people are fighting for their life. And I'm not saying that it's not a real thing. But I'm just saying that this is more powerful than any kind of sickness or disease. That's all I'm saying. By his stripes, we are healed. Psalms 103 and verse 5, he depicts us as the eagle. And I love the Passion Translation says, you satisfy my every desire with good things. You've supercharged my life so that I soar again like a flying eagle in the sky. The eagle represents the resurrection. I preached on that last week. But this morning, I want to talk about the man. Everybody say the man. See, in the four Gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we can see that it depicts these four faces. We see him as in the book of Matthew as the lion. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's the lineage of Joseph, his stepdad, who is of the lineage of Judah. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. We see in the book of Mark, we see him as the ox. We don't see any lineage whatsoever because when it's a true servant, there's no need to know where he came from. He just served. How many of y'all thankful we serve a God that didn't come to be served, but he came to serve? We see in the book of Luke, where we are right now with the Christmas trees in Luke chapter 2, that he came to this earth. And we see the lineage of Mary, a virgin Mary. We're going to talk about that today. And we see in the book of John is the story of John chapter 11 of the resurrection. He came to deal with death. Wasn't that good last week? He's the eagle for us. He came to deal with death. But we see that every phase is given in picture. And as I was thinking about this last night, there's been eight different phases that Jesus has been through as I read a commentary.
There in the Old Testament, he was the ox. He was the sin bearer. He was the calf when he created the world. How was he that? Because he knew when he created it that man was going to sin and that he would reject him. But he created it anyway. But he's not only the creator, he is the redeemer. We see in the Old Testament when he created the nation of Israel, he created it as the eagle, as resurrection. See, God wanted a supernatural people. He took Abraham up on the mountain and said, I will bless those that bless you and I will curse those that curse you. But in order for them to even have a baby, it had to be the eagle, the power of resurrection, for them to have supernaturally a son, Isaac, when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. There was resurrection of reproduction. So he was the eagle. And he comes to Israel as a man, is what we're going to talk about today. But he also, in the Old Testament, Jesus is the lion, Hosea chapter 5 and verse 14. For I will be unto Ephraim, that's Joseph, as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. And I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. So we see him, we see the calf, we see resurrection, the eagle. We see him coming to Israel as a man, and we see him as the lion. But in the New Testament, we see him, he carried the cross as the calf. We see that he rises again as the eagle. And today we see him seated at the right hand of the Father as the man. And how many of y'all know he's coming back to roar again as the lion of the tribe of Judah? So if we're in any phase right now, we're in phase 7, that he is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and me. How many of y'all thankful for that? So we're going to talk about him being the man or him being a human being. If you have your Bible, please open it up to Luke chapter 1. Book of Luke depicts the man. And we see this in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Go ahead and go there with me. I'm going to read from the New King James. It says this. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee and Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, which is of the house of Judah. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit, pay attention, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of the Living God. In order for us to grasp this, we need to understand this, the nature of man. And this goes back to elementary teaching of the Bible. And if you don't know this, pay attention because it's very important that you understand this in your walk with Christ. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live inside of a body. God is a spirit. The Bible tells us in John chapter 4, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So in order for us to connect with God, we need to know this, that we are a spirit. And from here on out, you need to understand this. Yes, feed your body. Feed it the right things. Don't do what I do. I'm working on it. But we need to be more concerned on what we are feeding our spirit. The things that you're watching, is it feeding your spirit? The things that you're listening to, is it feeding your spirit? Because you are a spirit, and how you connect with God is through your spirit. And all those other things are going to affect it, but let me stay focused here. In order for us to connect with God, we must be a spirit, and we have a soul. The Bible tells us this in Luke 21, by your patience possess your souls. And in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, it says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So you can possess a soul and you can lose a soul. That means you're not a soul, but you have a soul. And our soul is what? It's our mind, our will, and our emotions. So we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And in this text, we see in Luke chapter 1, Christ didn't have one. So in order for him to come to the earth to become human, he needed one. He was good with the inner man, the spirit, but his outer man, the shell of the body, he did not have. And looking at Luke chapter 1, the Holy Spirit comes into Mary and creates something that resembles the seed of a man. A baby is conceived. The body of Jesus is made. When was it made? When conception happened. Why do we fight for pro-life? Because thank God for the conception of man inside the woman. Hebrews chapter 10, if you go with me there. Hebrews 10, verse 5 says this, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. That's the thing you didn't have, but a body you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Listen to this. The night the angel was with Mary, Christ entered the world. And he didn't enter the world like Adam. He entered the world just like you and me through the birth canal. What is Jesus saying here in Hebrews chapter 10? He's saying, when I entered the world, you didn't want all the sacrifices of the law. That was never really my aim. Those were only meant to point to what you were doing. You wanted me. See, he's saying, I've come to do your will, O Lord. You prepared for me a body. And these are the last words. These are his last words as God. In all his power and glory, he didn't cease from being all God, but had stripped himself of all of his power. I'm telling you, if you get revelation of this morning, this will open your eyes of how good our God really is. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, it says this. This is a great passage of text. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. Another translation said, made himself of nothing, taking the form of a bondservant and coming into the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What we see from this text right here, but made himself of no reputation, what this means is kenosis in the Greek, and it means he poured himself out. Listen to this. If you're going to enter the womb of a woman, you can't do it if you carry your conscience. He was going to have to pour out his memory. He was going to have to pour out his past. He was going to have to pour out all knowledge and wisdom. He erased everything in his mind and had to for the whole human experience. He made himself completely vulnerable, especially coming in as a baby. See, when Adam sinned, Satan became the god of this world. We see this in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. It says, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. In Ephesians 2:2, we see, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. I want you to see very clearly that we serve such a good God that he didn't just come into the world, but he came into a hostile environment as a baby. Right off the bat, the King Herod, what's he trying to do? He wants to kill him. Read Luke 2, that there was a census out. Any new babies have to die. He comes into a world that's hostile. Christ comes into a world that's at a very vulnerable state. Nothing is more harmless than a baby. Y'all know what I'm talking. Any of y'all that's worked cattle and been in a pen with cattle and the brand new baby in there, and you got bulls running around, cows running around. Sometimes that little baby, if he's not careful, he's the one that gets the raw end of the deal. But that baby grows up and they become big bulls and they become big cows. But at that moment, they're at the most vulnerable place that they can be. I want you to picture this. Christ came helpless. He had to learn some things. He took the Torah scroll when he was 12 years old. Mom tells him of the supernatural birth at the age of 12. Then the Holy Spirit begins to quicken some things in him. And can you imagine being in those places when he begins to read Isaiah, as he begins to read Ezekiel, as he begins to read the book of Psalms, and even begins to read in Exodus of the tabernacle, that he begins to see all of this is pointing to him. And everything from the very beginning of time is pointing to him. And if I could give you a word of encourage this morning, in your marriage, point it to him. As you raise your kids, point it to him. In your finances, point it to him. And he sees this and he begins to see that all of this, that he has come as a man to not only fulfill prophecy, but to fulfill the way the world is to be set up. And in verse 30, he's now on a mission. He has tasted the human experience. As he reads scripture, we see this. Jesus refers to him as the Son of God, but we also see more often, we see him refer to himself as the Son of Man. I hope this makes sense to you this morning of why he says the Son of Man. To give you an example, in Matthew 16 and verse 13, he says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He refers to himself as the Son of Man. Are you getting a picture now of why he is the Son of Man? Because he came in the same way as you and me. Now, let's go to John chapter 10. Go there with me in your Bible, if you have your Bible, if you have your iPad, if you have your phone, whatever it is. I prefer the real thing, baby. John chapter 10. This is a great passage of Scripture, and it opens eyes to see. But as you're going there, I want you to picture yourself. You're coming home one day, and you know there's times when you turn, we kind of live in a curvy road. And what if you're coming home one day, and your headlights shine up on somebody's, your neighbor's house. You know who your neighbor is. And you see somebody crawling through the window. Or you see somebody up above or wherever it is, but they're going into a house that is not theirs. And you know that there is something suspicious about it. Maybe they lost their keys or whatever, but if it's not that person, you see them crawling through the window. He has given a description just like this. That if somebody's going into a place not the right way and not through the right door, he's not supposed to be there. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus came through the right door. In John chapter 10, he said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. See, he knew he had to come in and be raised up with the sheep if the sheep were going to trust him. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. What is the sheepfold here? He says, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, the sheepfold is the earth. And we know from Psalms 100 in verse 3, chapter 100, verse 3, it says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. How did Christ get here into the earth? He was born here. How did you get here? You got here through the door of the birth canal. How did Jesus get here? He got here through the door of the birth canal. Isn't that amazing, the God that we serve? How powerful he is, did the same thing as us. Every being that was born not of here is a thief and a robber. I want to tell you right now, we are living in a demonic age. How many of y'all know they shouldn't be welcome here on this earth? Because they didn't come the way Jesus came. And when they don't come the way Jesus came, there is going to be some things that they do that don't bear witness in our spirit. I mean, just look across at what's happening all across the land. I mean, you have 1.3 million people march to the Supreme Court in Washington a month ago. Don't set anything on fire or break any glass. But then Antifa comes out, begins to throw firebombs, punch old people in the face. I mean, it's completely demonic of some things that are happening in our world today. How many of y'all know they should not be welcome here, and we need to put our, we need to draw a line in the sand by the blood of Jesus? He said, if you be able to withstand in the evil day. And you know what we pray every Saturday and every morning? We pray that the line will be drawn in the sand, that COVID-19, you can stay on Washington Street, but you can't come in this parking lot right here. I am washed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Come on, get a roar on the inside of you this morning. He is not welcome. And you need to draw a line in the sand in your house that the enemy is not welcome in my house. The only one who's welcome is the one who came in the same way that I came in, but yet he was tempted in all three ways that I was, but didn't fall to any of it. He's already dealt with some things. The blood of Jesus. Come on, you need to make mention of the blood. I don't mean to get off on that this morning, but I'm here to tell somebody needs to be reminded. You need to make mention of the blood in your house. In my household, we make mention of the blood. You need to make mention of the blood. I'm telling you, it'll set you free. Come on, who's with me this morning? Thank God for the blood of Jesus. We ought to thank him for the blood. He could have had made a body from the dirt like he did Adam, but he didn't. And you know what? That speaks volumes to someone like me. He sends him like everyone else. God never diminishes something he establishes. He respected the human race so much. And what did he do? He plants the seed in the Virgin Mary. See, if it would have came from the seed of Joseph, it would have had sin in it, because there was sin in Joseph. But there was not sin in God. He was born without death in his flesh. There was no lust in his flesh. He was the perfect human body. But when he sends him to be led to weakness. Immune to death, but he has no sin. I want you to think about this. He came to deal with death. This is why Herod couldn't kill him. This is why the storm couldn't kill him. This is why Nazareth couldn't kill him. This is why Jerusalem couldn't kill him. The only way that he was to die was when he went to Gethsemane and said, it's not that you take my life, but I lay my life for everyone. In John chapter 10, it goes on, it says, no one takes it from me. This is the same text we were reading of him coming through the door. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. He yielded to death. He is perfect, but yet he's a human. He's all God, and he's all man. In John chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who will live, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. He said, I am coming to raise the dead. And I'm starting with myself. I'm going to say it again. He said, I'm coming to raise the dead, and I'm going to start with myself. Come on, who's in here that he raised you back to life? You were dead to the world. You were dead to sin in your life. But you know what? You saw the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there's something that got implanted on the inside of your spirit and said, I'm not dying to the world anymore, because he rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. Verse 27, and has given him, this is 5:27 of John, has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. The Son of God, raised from the dead. The Son of Man, he has the authority to rule the planet. Come on, you can't make this stuff up. This is so good. In the beginning, he created the earth, and he created it for man. But then sin came and entered the world. Authority was taken back. And so it took a sinless man to take it back again. That's why he sent his son. But here's the deal. He knew it would happen. And that's why it all pointed to Jesus from the very beginning. He took it back because he's the Son of God and he's the Son of Man. Come on, is this not good? This is good. Hebrews chapter 4, I love this text. It says, seeing then, you ought to highlight this. You ought to blow this up and put it somewhere in your home. Seeing then that we have a high priest. See, why this is why it's so important to be here on Bible school on Wednesday nights, because it's breaking all of this stuff open of who the high priest is for us. Ain't that right, Pastor Robert? You can pay me later. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, there's something to be said from this man, the Son of Man and the Son of God, who has gone through what you have been going through today. You know, there's some things, if somebody comes into my office and says, you know what, I'm having a hard time. I remember as a youth pastor, young people would come into my office and said, hey, I'm dealing with my parents going through a divorce. You know, I can encourage them. I can do everything that I can for them. But I'm not coming from experience, because I thank God I have a mom and dad that have served God and love each other. They love each other more than they love me. And they have loved each other their whole marriage. I cannot sympathize with anybody who has parents that are separating. Pastor Brandy can't either. I can pray for you. I can have compassion for you. But I can't empathize with you. But there is some things that I have gone through that I can't empathize with you. I remember the first miscarriage that Pastor Brandy and myself had. I remember people slapping us on the back and things like that and say, you know what, you're going to make it through. I remember the second miscarriage that we had. I mean, it was super hard, super hard. I remember thinking all these things like, God, I give, I tithe, I serve you. There's crackheads on 6th Street having babies. Why am I not having a baby? But then I remember a call. In fact, one that I remember the most was Pastor Mark Trice, a man of God, Ronnie Trice's son. He called me and he began to empathize with me. He said, man, we've been through many miscarriages. Can I pray with you over the phone? It was an amazing the encouragement that came of him going through it and say, you know what? You're going to make it through. You're going to go to the other side. To God be the glory. I have more children, even though we've had miscarriages. Come on, somebody. But I thank God for this scripture right here, that what he is saying, when you hear this from Jesus, it becomes easy. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet he did it without sin. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful for Matthew 4 and Luke chapter 4, when the Spirit leads him into the wilderness and he's tempted? That he takes him and said, hey, I know you haven't ate for 40 days. Here's some bread. And he tells him, he comes back with the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then he tempts him. This is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is three ways that he was tempted. The second one, he takes him up on the high mountain. He said, it all can be yours. You just bow down and worship me. And he says, we shall worship only the Lord our God, and only him shall we serve. He said, throw yourself off of this pinnacle here. Doesn't the Bible say that he'll keep his angels charge over you, keep you in all your ways, that no evil befalls him, no weapon formed against him shall prosper? I'm here to tell you, even the enemy knows the word. And he knows the power of the word that it has over you. And Jesus comes back and says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. The same way as the Son of Man and as a man on this earth that he was tempted, the same way he came against the enemy is the same way that you can come against the enemy, is by speaking the word of God. But see, it'd be one thing if he just wrote this all out and said, you need to do this, you need to do this. But aren't you thankful that he came and he did this and he gave us an example how he was in all three ways tempted as us, but yet he did it without sin. Isn't that good? It's available to you and me. He had power because he spoke the word of God. When you speak the word, dynamite comes out your mouth. Come on. Maybe you're in here today, you're dealing with failure. You know, is there times I was driving down the road and there's situations that I've dealt with before that if I'm not careful, if I sit down and think about mistakes that I've made, I promise you there's no good that comes from that. How many of y'all know the enemy can drag you down in just a second? But I love what Paul Harvey said. He said, what's your biggest accomplishment in life? Paul Harvey said this, when I fall, I get right back up. If the biggest thing that I can show you about he came as the man, they put him in the grave. They said all these things against him. They spit in his face. They scourged him, put a crown of thorns on his head as a man. But he didn't stay down. He got back up again. That's the greatest testimony that God shows us. John chapter 21, I'm going to be closing here, but I want you to see something in John 21 and verse 15. It says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? I want to help you this morning. Maybe you're in this same situation. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Oh, this passage of text, I'm telling you, you can preach it 25,000 different ways. But he said, Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Listen to him. He said, feed my lambs. He said, tend my sheep. He said, feed my lambs. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. I want you to think about Peter in his shoes right now. He denied him. Not only did he deny him, he told him he would deny him. And he said, God, you know I won't deny you. And he said, yes, you will. Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. And not only does he deny him, he denies him by a little girl. Can you think about the weight, the heaviness, the God that's been there with him, the God that showed him things, the God that's been in the corner for him? Can you imagine the weight that he's feeling of, oh man, not only did he tell me and warn me that I was going to do it. It's like if you're, I've said this in youth for many times for years. It's like if you were playing basketball with somebody and say, you know what, I'm going to juke left. I'm going to juke right. I'm going to throw it on the outside of you, go around your left side of the body. And I'm going to lay up right in your face or dunk it on you. But then you do it, it's even worse. That's exactly what Peter did. So can you think about the heaviness of where he was? But Jesus was the ultimate picture. I know you're down, but so was I. I was down and I was in the grave for 3 days. But it didn't keep me down. I arose. And Peter, I'm here to paint the picture to you that I'm not just speaking these words, I've lived these words. If I would have stayed in the grave, there would have been somebody in 2020 that needed the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, but I didn't stay there, I got up. And I just felt impressed this morning. There may be some people in here this morning that you may be hurt by a loved one. You may be hurt by somebody that you work with. You may be hurt of something that happened to you years ago. I'm here to tell you, if Jesus got up as the man, you can get up as a man or as a woman today too. He said this. He said, do you love me? He said, God, you know that I love you. What did he say? He said, feed my lamb. See, Peter, if you stay down, if you stay offended, if you stay hurt, there's going to be people in your life that are going to be affected by you staying in the hurt, the offense that you're in today. So you need to get right back up and you need to feed my sheep. You need to feed my lambs. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but you may be hurt. You may be offended by something your husband said to you 2 years ago. Can I tell you what God would tell you? Feed my sheep. Let it go. Because there's people in your life that you're affecting by being down. And he's saying this, I may have came as the man. I came as the man. I came just as you were. In fact, I was affected just as all the ways that you were affected today. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But you know what? I didn't stay down. I got up. And now I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. And I'm here to be the example to you that if you use me, put my spirit in the inside of you, you were created in my image, you can do the same thing today. Come on, give him praise this morning if you believe that. Come on, let's stand to our feet. He says, I know how you feel. I know how you feel, Peter. Can I tell you this morning? He's telling you the same thing. I know how you feel. No matter what situation you're back up against, I want to tell you this morning, Dad, he's saying, I know how you feel. Mom, I know how you feel. Businessman, I know how you feel. American, I know how you feel. I know how you feel. In all three ways, he was tempted as us, but yet he didn't fall to sin. It's coming from a man who understands you're in our condition. Come on, isn't that good? I don't know that I communicated it well enough to you this morning, but I want to tell you this, that he's not only the Son of God, but he's the Son of Man. You can't get that from anyone else. Oh, I thank God for the word. It's a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light into our path. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? See how great, how great. Our God. Especially after what you learned this morning, it is an amazing. Come on, sing. How great is our God? Oh, sing with me. How great is our God? And oh, see how great, how great is our God.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.